The scripture today is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Our second reading this morning follows this theme of, oh, how great God's love is. It's from Psalm 36. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like mighty mountains. Your justice like the depths of the ocean. You care for people and animals alike. O Lord, how precious is your unfailing love. O God, all humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. I have preached here before, but it probably was a decade ago. So it's really nice to be back. And for those of you wondering, I wasn't 10 a decade ago. I, in fact, just turned 41 yesterday. I'm feeling pretty good, actually. Yes, that's why you have Thanksgiving, is because it's all of my favorite foods, and I was born on Thanksgiving. You didn't know you were giving thanks for me all those years, but you have been for the last 41. I love turkey and cranberry and, as much gravy on the mashed potatoes as possible. So thank you for celebrating me this week, and thank you for celebrating with your family. I figured this is a ripe time to talk about our family, because we all probably just saw them. At very least, we saw them over Zoom. My family, we're a big Irish, formerly Catholic family, and the formerly Catholic part created my mom's 8 brothers and sisters, and then we have 27 cousins, and all of the girlfriends and boyfriends of said cousins, and then, you know, a couple others that we throw in for good. So we had 42 people at Thanksgiving crammed into my aunt's house. I did a COVID test before I came this morning, just so you know, because with that many people crammed in, somebody's bound to have something. But may we all be safe from the holiday COVID. It came out negative. Otherwise, I would have stayed home. But my big family, we put the fun in dysfunctional. We really enjoy one another and our crazy stories, and all the aunts work too hard and think they're younger than they are, so they're constantly injuring themselves doing one or another construction project that they believe they're qualified for. I inherited this trait of thinking that I can do just about any project, despite the fact that I have no training, no muscles, and probably am using craft supplies instead of the correct tools for the job. But it runs in our family to just think, I can absolutely replace a tile floor by myself on a Saturday. Sure. Why not? I dug French drains in a house that I lived in a couple of years back all by myself. They worked. It was pretty good. We won't tell the story about how many times I had to go to the chiropractor after that project, though, because, you know, I totally could do it all by myself. My family, like yours, is the perfect microcosm of the world. They love each other. They sometimes get annoyed with each other. They have been having the same conversations for years and years in circles over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. They've been chiding each other for the same bad habits for years and years, and the person just keeps doing the bad habits and, you know, leave me alone, I'll quit someday. And we tell the same stories, although if you're Irish, the stories have to get a little bigger each year. And so, you know, the small stories turn into bigger ones. It's just sort of required. I think the German, English, and French families tell the same stories, but the facts are allowed to remain the same. In the Irish tradition, we have to blow them up each year a little bit. So who knows what's even true by this point. but they're good people. And they also are just what one another needs, although they might not have chosen one another to be the what I call the mentors, the tormentors of one another in the family. I didn't coin that term, but there's a great psychologist who does internal family systems, and he calls our family members our tormentors, as in they are exactly what we need, and it feels terrible to have them around. It's the sandpaper that, you know, always rubs off the rough edges of folks. And I do believe that this is part of the love of God. And so even though in the scriptures it says things like, can anything separate us from the love of God? Neither heights nor depths, angels nor demons, fears about today or worries about tomorrow. You might have a different list. Can anything separate us from the love of God? You know, Uncle Rick always smoking outside while everyone else is eating. Can anything separate us from the love of God, the one aunt who will tell all of your family secrets right at the dinner table? Can anything distance us from God's great love? You know, the constant nagging of Grandma so-and-so about the fact that you're still single. Can anything separate us? Maybe you can fill in the blanks of some things that might seem like they're trying really hard to separate you from the love of God. They certainly feel that way. And yet, these are the very things that God uses to humble us and bring us back into the community of humanity. If it was just a one-person religion, by golly, we'd all be perfect at it, right? It's other people that keep messing up this Christianity thing for us with all their human habits. And so I think God's love reaches beyond family squabbles. God's love, God's righteousness is like not only the mighty mountains, but the mighty cry of the newborn baby at Thanksgiving. God's justice is not just like the ocean depths, but like the depths of the debt that so-and-so is in and is probably never going to pay back to Uncle so-and-so. Our families are the perfect tormentors for us. And I think that God put them there. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I think that God put them there because if someone annoyed us that much and was not our family, we'd stop hanging out with them. But if they annoy us that much in their family, we have to keep seeing them, which means God gets opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to buff off our rough edges. Does anybody feel like you may have been a little sandpapered on Thanksgiving? Some families are different than others, and I absolutely love my family. And I know that those close to me are the perfect tormentors for my personality flaws. If I am one who talks too much, I know that on Thanksgiving I'll be judging Aunt so-and-so who talks too much, and then I'll have to look right back at myself because the thing that annoys me in the other person is almost assuredly the thing that annoys me in myself. I went to a couples retreat. My boyfriend and I went to a couples retreat this last weekend, and just for those who are wondering, we're in the Good Baptist tradition, which means we do what we want. That's how I summarize the Baptist church. We generally do what we want, but I'm an ordained Baptist pastor, and I have a boyfriend, and that's okay. Just speaking up for the young clergy of the world, it's good. It's not a problem. And he and I went to a lovely couples retreat this last weekend, and what I noticed, as there was us and five other couples, and we're still all new and infatuated. We've been dating a year, so we still think each other are good looking, and we still take very long kisses, but saying goodbye, and we still gaze into each other's eyes. And the couples that were with us, some were together 5 years, 15 years, some were going into their retirement and had been together longer than I've been alive. And so there were couples at all different stages, and some of them liked each other more or less than other couples. But what I noticed is that as we were talking about couples' issues and what things kind of get us at each other's throat or what things drive us nuts or the same rut that we kind of can't get out of with our significant other, is that it was as if God had perfectly orchestrated these two people's lives in each of the couples to not let them get away with their issues. So if there is a couple where one, the wife had been abused as a child and was very shy about sexual things, and her husband had not been ever like brought out of his crib or given loving touch when he was a child, then he needs touch and she needs healing, and they as a couple are each other's perfect tormentor. Do you know what I'm saying? So if one couple, the wife really needs to be appreciated for her work, even though she doesn't make a lot of money, she's married to the guy who always associated financial security with safety and security, and he's most worried that if something happens to him, she won't be able to pay the bills. So she wants recognition for non-monetary work, and he wants her to earn enough money to make him feel calm, like he could, you know, let it go and not be in so much control. And you can imagine the conversations that they have in this circle of torment that these two people who love each other have back and forth. And if God didn't really want to work on those issues with those two people, he wouldn't have put them together to drive each other nuts for, in that case, 15 years and still going strong, right? And from the outside, we can look into this and say, like, of course, like, you know, get it together, guy. Like, tell your wife she does good work, even though she doesn't earn a lot of money. It's not about money. There's other kinds of securities. And we can say to the wife, like, you probably should do some retirement planning, you know, with his money or something. But from the outside, everything is easier. It's the inside. It's our own issues, our own things that we would rather not work on because they usually come from some painful encounter that are much more mysterious. So I suppose my encouragement for us today is that if there is someone in your family, whether it be your actual spouse, a brother or sister, your kids who are going off on their own way and not paying attention to the mentoring you tried to give them, they are your perfect tormentor. And God put them in your life, in my life, to deal with the issues that I would consistently for 20 or 30 years put to the back burner. It's God's way of saying, let's get this right out in front so that we have to deal with it because our character is worth a little, you know, a little sandpaper on our rough edges. So when we praise God for things like his unfailing love goes to all humanity, that means Uncle So-and-so who drives you crazy too. And when we praise God that all humanity finds shelter in his wings, that means the, you know, our tormentor is also in the shadow of grace and mercy and love beyond what we are capable even of giving. Everyone feeds from the abundance of God's table. Everyone drinks from the river of delights. The fountain of God's love is for everybody, especially for those who are in the perfect position to tormentor us. And that is a strange but beautiful gift of God's love. I'd like to invite you this morning to sing with me the next hymn.